This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome back to our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's allergy season, so I'll remind you that we've got a great article that I did in our newsletter about ways that you can reduce your allergy burden this allergy season.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also download our podcast. Now, we have a comment about one of the podcasts I did recently.
Yeah. This comes from Steve. Dear Dr. Hoffman, your interview with Dr. Feynman was eye-opening.
So let's talk about that. Yeah. Dr. Feynman, Richard Feynman, is he's like a professor emeritus.
Yes.
In a medical school. He's a mm-hmm. very well-known biochemist, cell mm-hmm. biologist, who has really taken a look at the way we do nutrition research.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rigorous scientist, and he has found it woefully misguided.
Mm.
And so he's written a book. I forget the title of the book, but if you listen to the podcast, you'll get the full title of the book. It's a critique of the way we do nutritional research and how we've gone wrong in recommending low-fat diets.
Yep.
He's a big proponent of the very low-carb diet,
yes,
especially for management of metabolic syndrome and mm-hmm. diabetes and heart disease and hypertension and even cancer. And mm-hmm. he's actually doing research at Einstein, my alma mater medical school, on low-carb dieting, ketogenic diets for cancer.
Yeah.
So, and he, this is a guy, I have to say, when you get into the very detailed biochemistry, and he started to go off in this thing, and I was like, okay, I think I fell asleep during that lecture in med school. And, you know, he knows it like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
The biochemistry, and he understands it. And from that understanding, he has really come to the conclusion that low carb is the way to go mm-hmm. for managing these disorders.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and he also, which is wonderful, he teaches medical students.
Yeah.
And so I hope that some of these medical students get exposure, because it's very rare that you get exposure
yeah.
to that viewpoint in med school. And then you never develop that career interest or orientation to help your patients.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that he teaches medical students, because what Steve is saying here, your interview with Dr. Feynman was eye-opening, and the idea that diabetes can be managed with low carbs rather than insulin. What I find troubling with young doctors today is they're using more insulin.
Right. And there is this tendency to want to fix the blood sugar
mm-hmm.
aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Like we do in the hospital, right. Sliding scale insulin.
Right.
That type
and
of
so
thing.
And so what ends up happening, and Dr. Feynman agreed when I put this out there, he said, patients are actually at the behest of their insulin. They're eating to keep up with their insulin.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God, my blood sugar is low. I need to eat more,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're on so much insulin that they get low blood sugar, and then they yeah. need to eat more. And then they get fatter. They get
yes.
turned into butter balls,
mm-hmm.
and then they're at risk. Yeah. So I think not all endocrinologists are towing the line on that. There are many that are thoughtful
mm-hmm.
and are signing on to the lower carb doctrine.
Yeah.
But it's hard to change tradition. And, oh, by the way, things have come full circle, because Jocelyn, you know, the first guy.
Yeah, the Jocelyn Center.
Yeah, he actually was a proponent of a low-carb diet.
Yeah.
But then it got away, is that they then said, well, hey, you know, we have insulin, we have these wonderful medications.
Mm-hmm. And American Diabetes Association got away from it.
You can eat what you want.
Yes, we have insulin now. Yeah. You could eat.
I mean, just don't eat, like,
you know,
pure sugar, but, you know.
You could eat that spicy chili dog, because you could take Pepcid.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, it's like, these are lifestyle drugs.
Right.
They become lifestyle drugs rather than disease-fighting drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
So, you know, we have had, and I don't know why this is seems like a new idea that we're hearing about, but we've been treating even type 1 diabetics who are on insulin, put them on a lower carb diet so they're able to administer less insulin to themselves.
Right.
And they find that their weight becomes normal
And much as I hate to admit it, one of my rivals in med school, when I was in med school, we had a nutrition study group. And on one side of the table was Dr. Richard Bernstein.
Ah.
And on the other side of the table was me. And I was on a macrobiotic vegan diet.
Uh-huh.
And he was recommending a high protein, low carb, high fat diet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was prescient. He still is in practice. He was actually an older medical student. I think he must have been like 35 or 40 as a medical student. Very unusual. Mm-hmm. He's still alive and kicking and very active and physically strong. There's a YouTube video of him like bench pressing some enormous amount of weight.
Uh-huh.
And he's a type 1 diabetic. And type 1 diabetics don't do that well when they get in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah.
And he, through his scrupulous insulin monitoring, it's not for the faint of heart because he checks his insulin like 10 times a day.
Yeah.
I mean, he takes his blood sugar 10 times a day. And then he takes very small amounts of insulin and he exercises continually. He's on a very low carb diet.
Yes.
And
with fiber in the right places.
For the right type of patient, you have to be a little OCD to do this. You can really minimize your side effects without a lot of insulin.
Yeah, you can.
Insulin is life-saving, but it's also damaging.
Yes.
Too much insulin.
Yes.
So have insulin resistance.
Like, it's like the air we breathe. We need it for life, but it's also the thing that oxidizes us eventually and all that.
Insulin drives diseases. And we want to keep that insulin burden relatively to a minimum.
Right.
Just enough to cover our blood sugar.
Yeah, because that's where inflammation starts to happen. Inflammation, blood pressure as well. So, Steve, thank you for that. Thank you for that note. All right.
Let's pause because we want to allow our sponsor
an
opportunity to share an important message with you.
Okay.
So here goes. Listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you, and also consider FullScript your source for nutritional supplements. That also provides us with a little bit of impetus to continue offering free podcasts.
Mm.
What's the next question, Leo?
We have a response. Dr. Hoffman, in a recent Q&A with Layla on your podcast, you mentioned Kawasaki in a reference to a stress-induced cardiomyopathy.
This. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's a correction. And I was wrong, and I'm going to issue a correction. This is actually, this type of cardiomyopathy is called Takotsubo.
Mm-hmm.
Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Takotsubo, yes.
I knew Kawasaki is like a motorcycle brand.
Right. Let the good times roll,
right.
But so, Takotsubo cardiomyopathy is not.
I'm not Japanese, it's not my forte. So thank you. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Now you can share this explanation from a very nice doctor.
Yes,
who wrote this.
Yeah.
So what this is it basically is a heartbreak.
Yeah.
Under tremendous stress, you can develop a type of cardiomyopathy where it's almost like the heart balloons out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a devastating type of thing. Most often happens in females.
Yeah.
So say that word again.
Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. That's what it's called.
Okay.
He also says, would you do the medical community a favor by refraining from mentioning references to yearly stress testing? Many people undergo these
this
tests.
This guy's a cardiologist.
He's a cardiologist.
Great.
And many people undergo these tests needlessly, as there are no guidelines to support the use of yearly stress testing. Many patients do undergo these, however, because their physicians have approval from insurance companies.
It's the executive physical that you
get. Yeah, and this is one of the reasons for the high cost of healthcare.
Right. Yeah, it's like, we're going to do soup to nuts and we're going to do a stress test.
Right, right. He says, I know many people, most of which are from the Northeast, who are still undergoing yearly nuclear stress testing for no indication whatsoever. The patients are under the impression that their doctor is being cautious. However, all this does is provide a false sense of security. It also increases the chance of a false positive,
right,
which would expose them to further invasive testing.
Let's address that. Is that you think stress tests, I mean, people have too much faith in medical tests.
Yeah.
They think that it's the, you know, it's ironclad when you do a test, that the test will A, pick up something, or B, that it won't pick up something that's not there.
Yeah.
So there's about, especially in women, and I'm going to throw this out, and maybe this guy's listening and he'll correct me, but there's a, I would say, a low double digit or high single digit false positive rate on stress tests. So the next thing you do is you say, oh my God, you have an abnormal stress test. Let's do...
the next invasive stress,
which is cardiac catheterization.
Oh no.
And in cardiac catheterization...
you're going to get a stent.
It is highly likely you'll get a stent, even if you're asymptomatic, which is not correct, according to the research, is that if you have asymptomatic, if you have some blockage, but it's asymptomatic, you don't have to fix it. Okay, but it exposes to the likelihood of unnecessary procedures. And I can't tell you the number of patients who've come here who've said, you know, I did a stress test, I had a cardiac catheterization, they said I had a blockage, they fixed it. And I had a doctor who said this to me. I had a doctor, and one of the reasons why I had such aggressive medical care is because he was a doctor, and he was talking to his colleagues and said, oh, you know, the stress test is abnormal, we need a cardiac catheterization, oh, we'll put it in a stent. And he says, and I regret having the stent put in, because...
wow.
Once you have a stent put in, there's a high likelihood that it'll reocclude, and you're off to the races in terms of multiple procedures.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you. You are a good guy. You're one of the good guys, this cardiologist. We won't mention his name.
I actually don't have a name for him here.
Oh, good.
But I do want to go on something else he says. I enjoy your podcast and the unique perspective it provides. Not all physicians are bad guys.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
I'm a board-certified interventional cardiologist, and I keep a very open mind towards all therapies, conventional and otherwise.
Which means
that's great.
He makes his money doing these procedures.
Ah, okay.
But he is scrupulous about not doing them unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So that is, I think, the highest.
First, do no harm.
That is the highest. Yeah. Level of integrity is that that's his job.
Yeah.
But like
a surgeon saying you don't need surgery.
Or an honest plumber who says, hey, you know, the toilet's fine, you know, just plunge it. You know, we don't need to fix the
Instead
pipes.
Of selling you copper pipes or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or the honest car mechanic, you know, and we need more ethical people like that in all professions.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for this, and do continue to listen and send us your perspective. Thank you for that. All right. Oh, let's see here. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. In a previous podcast, you mentioned that taking certain supplements can help with the weaning off of Lexapro. Are you confirming that it's safe to take Lexapro while also taking supplements like L-theanine and GABA?
Yes, but you need some supervision when you do that.
Yeah.
So generally,
you need to be watched.
Yeah, you know, we will do this sometimes in conjunction with a psychiatrist, or, you know, we will lower doses of medication in conjunction with adding natural things.
So titrate down while you titrate up.
You know, it is thought, we saw a patient who just did very well with St. John's wort. One of the reasons the St. John's wort isn't used very much anymore is because it interacts with medication.
With almost all medications.
And there's
it's
such
ridiculous.
Red flag warnings that... the sales of St. John wort have plummeted, but they say, absolutely don't use it with an SSRI. Well, you know, I think there's an argument to be made that if you're judicious, you can use small amounts and ramp down on your SSRI. But there is a potential for a synergistic effect. You can get a hyper effect which is called serotonergic syndrome, which is there's all kinds of nasties that happen
serotonin
in the body.
Right.
It's sort of a serotonin meltdown of body, and it's very icky. So, you have to be careful. And I wish I could just say, you know, here's the problem. You know, since I've been in practice, there is this thing called the internet. And, you know, before the internet, there was books. And, you know, you'd go to the health food store and you'd leaf through them. Sometimes you'd buy them. But that's, you know, you'd write it down on a piece of paper, like a protocol, and you take it home. Yeah. Or then there was radio, and you had Carlton Fredericks and Dr. Atkins and then me, and we would dispense advice on radio, and people would, like, scrupulously write it down. And then they would send us letters saying, please send me the protocol for, and then you'd have somebody stuff it, you know, an envelope and put a stamp on it and send them the protocol for whatever condition they had. Now we have the internet, and so there's a million ways to figure out how to treat your disease. And that's great. It democratizes this process. But if you have a psychiatric problem, number one, possibly your capacity to objectively weigh your response is going to be maybe skewed. I'm not impugning the judgment of people with psychiatric disorders, but you know, you could get on a enthusiastic tear, or you could get on a negative tear, and you could mess this up.
Yeah.
And especially if you're on medication. So please see a nutritionally oriented professional who can straighten this out for you. Yeah, it's a fee for service. I'm sorry, but not everything
But aren't you worth it?
Not everything can be found. I mean, so much is available, but not you can't get all the answers by just, you know, listening to this podcast,
for example. I know. Another analogy for this is how many people I've seen come in over the years who have self-prescribed themselves red yeast rice that they're taking for years without anybody else's knowledge, or very, very high doses of niacin without anybody else's knowledge. And then we see, what's going on with your liver enzymes?
Well, you know, the guy who wrote the 8-week cholesterol cure recommended niacin, and there was a class action lawsuit against him. It just practically broke him. His name was Kowalski. Because people took the niacin willy-nilly, and there was no warning in the book, and they got liver problems.
Yeah.
And it lowers cholesterol, but, you know, it's unsupervised use of something pretty powerful.
Exactly.
And not everybody needs to see a holistic doctor or a health coach or a nutritionist, but something to be said.
Yes. Okay. You want to ask people who are informed about this.
Hopefully.
And looking at the internet and looking for several hours or days on the internet does not make you informed. It just doesn't. Okay, so Ileana, you would want to do this supervised if you're looking to wean off Lexapro. And please do let your doctor know. Okay. We have, here's another question, similar, from Philip. Dr. Hoffman, I've been on Clonopin and Ativan for about 2 years, and on three...
So Clonopin and Ativan, there are two benzodiazepines.
Yeah, for 2 years. And on three antidepressants for about the same time, Lexapro, Wellbutrin, and Effexor for 25 years.
Ooh, that's quite a cocktail.
Here's his question. Can I take Redicom alongside these medications?
Well, okay, this is a nutritional supplement, and the answer is no. See a health professional.
Please
because
do.
Because Redicom is for people who have mild to moderate anxiety and are not taking a lot of medications concurrently. And it really works well. It's a combination of ingredients that have beneficial effects on anxiety and mood. But, you know, no.
Yeah.
Quite simply, no.
Yeah.
It has, with so many medications, first of all, when you're taking more than two or three medications, the likelihood that those medications themselves will clash is, you know, becomes virtually a certainty.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's sort of like driving with the foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time. It's very inefficient. And then, you know, when you add, you know, a supplement that contains five or more ingredients, what are the possibilities? There's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
So the answer is seek nutritional support. And, you know, for a guy like this, what we'd suggest is we wouldn't take him off his medications right away and say, oh, you take Redicom or any supplement.
Yeah.
But we would say, let's look at your lifestyle. Let's look at, you know, what your diet is. Let's look at your exercise. Let's even look at your genes. Mm-hmm. Let's look at your vitamin levels.
Yes.
Let's replete what's low. Mm-hmm. And put you on an anti-inflammatory diet, because
right.
we started this podcast by talking about the benefits of anti-inflammatories
yes.
on depression. Maybe this guy's got an inflamed brain, and we can yeah. work on that in a more natural way.
Let's look at your detox pathways.
Yeah.
Let's look at your sleep quality. There's
yeah.
a whole lot of things to look at
yeah.
here.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And rather
medical
than
history.
And,
yeah.
and again, this is one of the downsides, I think, of the supplement industry, is that for some people, they just want to take pills.
Yeah.
And they've been educated to take pills
mm-hmm.
from the pharmaceutical industry. And they say, well, I don't want to take pharmaceuticals. I want to do it naturally. So I go to the health food store and take those pills.
Yeah.
That's not a really holistic approach.
Yeah.
It's substituting, quote, natural pills for, you know, synthetic, petrochemical,
yeah.
Patent medication. Mm-hmm. And it's not in the spirit of a truly comprehensive lifestyle modification
yeah.
that will really get at the base of the problem.
Okay. Right, so. Right. So, Philip, consult.
Yeah, consult.
You need a consult.
And firstly, uh-huh. that's all the time that we have for today's
oh, my
podcast.
Goodness.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's right.
But remember, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And we'll be taking more of your questions next week. We'll field them then. Enjoy the spring. And thank you, Layla, for joining us today.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.